I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
2 years I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
This is The Arts Show, CJSF 90.1 FM.
Yo, yo, hello, and welcome to the program here. As always, this is me, Jabe Gradowski, your humble host here. Doing the thing on at Simon Fraser University at 90.1 FM, Burnaby FM. Let's try that again. Hi, this is me, Jabe Gradowski, your humble host, as always, here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia, at Burnaby Mountain on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, which are of the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Kwikwetlem. And as always, today I have a fantastic array of events listings to tell you about. I also, for the first time in whiles, I have an interview. Yes, dear listener, I have an interview. Brian Martinez is Paul San Marco of A Chorus Line, of Studio 58's production of A Chorus Line. And it's taking place at the Granville Island Waterfront Theater. So we'll hear about that in a little bit, in about at 5:15 or so. But as always, we're going to be talking about some shows and where to go see them. But we're going to take some time here to do something else.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across 5 regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Hey. Oh, one more.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.
Alrighty, dear listener. Let's get in the groove here. Let's tell you about a couple shows coming up and coming down the pipe into our local neighborhoods here of so-called Vancouver. Let's get it started with a show tonight over at the Redgate Art Society. It is going to be, of course, because my fingers are so big, I have trouble hitting the thing, but it's going to be a Wooji, Danes, and Water Margins. So if you're looking for a happening night of interesting music here, check it out. It's over at Main and Third. $15, pay what you can, no one turned away to lack of funds. Doors at 8, shows at 9, give or take. And yeah, check it out. We'll hear some music from them in just a little bit. So yeah, once again, Wooji, Danes, and Water Margin at the Redgate Art Society tonight, Thursday night. Should be really great. Have a good time. Next up, I have Vanessa D and the Bright Sides doing a release for the Heartache Number 2 Records launch party. So check it out. There'll be a bunch of people on deck having a good time. Of course, you got Vanessa D and the Bright Sides, Uncle Yug and the Dirty Birds, Buck Nothing and Chance Love It also doing the things, and a special set from Victoria Black, DJ Penitentiary, and visuals by Josh Ryan also on deck. Also, Chandelier in the house. This is all taking place at the Wise Hall tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 p.m. till late. Shows at 8. I don't know. You're going to love it. It's going to be a rootin' tootin' good time. Boot stomping will definitely for sure happen. We'll hear some music from Vanessa D in just a minute here. Also on deck, we have some funny stuff happening over at Dolly. Millennial Line is back doing the thing. They're part of the Just for Last Vancouver Festival. So check it out. Should be really great. Tin and Savannah do a fantastic job making people laugh, making people think, having a good time. So this should be really good. Again, it's over at Dolly. And the entrance is in the alley. So check it out. It's a 713 East Hastings. So check it out. You can have you can enjoy that. I don't know how much it costs, but you can get tickets at jflvancouver.com and get yourself in on the funny stuff here. So check it out. Okay, last two more, and then we'll do some music, and then we'll get into some interviews. Hey, where did my music go? There it is. Okay, Knee Jerk is Brian Horswell, Carlos Sillins, and Keaton Lowen all doing their respective improvisational musical things. You got Brian on the piano, Carlos on bass, and Keaton on the drums. It's a free jazz thing, so check it out if you're looking for some chaotic but interesting jazz. Check it out. It should be at the number 8 East Pender Street. Number 8 East. So check it out. It's just over there on the Chinese Cultural Center. Right where East meets West on Pender. You know the place. Check it out. Go to Sun Yat-sen Garden. Have a good time. And mourn the koi taken from us by the otter. I don't care if you're Team Otter. Team Koi was the place to be. Those poor fish. Just trying to be fish in this otter. Anyways, different problem. Anyways, Knee Jerk. Improvisational free jazz. Number 8 East. Friday night, 9 p.m. Be there. Last one, and then we'll get to some music. Joe Past, Walgren, Swim Team, all doing their awesome, cool thing over at the Green Auto. That is 1822 Pandora Street, Saturday. I'm not sure exactly what this is, because they say it's at 1, but I don't think so. Yes, doors at 7, so go check that out. Should be really great. Some three heavy hitters all doing their good thing here. It's over, again, at Green Auto. Tickets, pre-sales are $12.50. You can get them at the door for $15, so you can save yourself $2.50 and hop on the bus. Wait, that doesn't get you bus anymore. Gosh. I don't know. Get a bag of chips. That's what you can do with $2.50 from the corner stores in the downtown east side. They got those no names. Anyways, Joe Past, Walgren, Swim Team, doing the things. Check out some music. This is going to be some music from Swim Team. This is off their album Hurricane. This is Suncatcher.
It's lost from the
Welcome back to the program here, everybody. That was Wooji, and that was their track Chasm. They're playing tonight at the Red Gate with Danes and Water Margin. Doors at 8. That's Thursday night for Wooji at the Red Gate. Excuse me, I'm yawning. Ooh, hell, professional. Also, in that set list, you heard some music from Vanessa D and the Bright Sides. That was her track, No Matter Where, off Loving, Longing, Leaving. You can see that album happening in your very own face over at the Wise Hall Friday night. Check it out. Should be really rad. Some country and twang and stuff like that. You'll also find, of course, Uncle Yug and the Dirty Birds, Buck Nothing, and Chance Lovett doing their respective things on there as well, along with Victoria Black. Again, that's at the Wise Hall and Lounge. Friday night, 7 p.m. Be there. Also in that mix, you heard Suncatcher by Swim Team off their album Hurricane. They're playing with Joe Past and Walgren over at Green Auto Saturday night at 1 p.m. Sorry, that's wrong. 7 p.m. So go check it out. It's going to be a cool night of cool music from cool people, including your cool self, should you decide to go. Speaking of things you should also go to, there's also a fantastic theater production of A Chorus Line. Take a step off the Broadway stage, the nighttime stage of Broadway, and go into the meta of musical theater, where 17 dancers compete vigorously and tirelessly for 8 spots in a chorus production. Anyways, it's an old movie. It's almost 50 years old. I haven't seen it, and I'm learning about it now. So maybe you are too. It's a really cool production about making it happen. I am going to be joined by Brian Martinez in this interview I'm about to play for you right about now.
Next with turn, turn, out, in, touch, step, step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch, got it? Going on, and turn, turn, touch, down, back, step, pivot, step, walk, 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 right. Let's do the whole combination, facing away from the mirror, from the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
Hi, this is me, Jabe Grudowski, for CJSF on Apollon FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain in, you guessed it, Burnaby, British Columbia. And here on the unceded territories, the Coast Salish peoples, which belong to the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Kwikwetlem. And I am joined today for our first interview in quite some time. Thank you so much for being our guest, Brian Martinez. Hello.
Hello, hello. As Jacob mentioned, my name is Brian Martinez.
Welcome to the show, and you are, yeah, as I mentioned, my first interview in quite some time, because I've mostly just been focusing on doing what I usually do, but I'm trying not to, because here we are. Thank you so much. And yeah, you're part of Studio 58, which is Langara's the theater program here, and your annual musical is upon us and in the midst of happening, not exactly right now, but you've been running for the last 2 weeks now for the classic, an almost 50 years old production of A Chorus Line, which follows 17 dancers and a couple others on their struggles and tribulations and worldly adventures of how they are so passionate into the world of dance and what's brought them here all together as they compete for 8 spots on a production on Broadway. And so that, I feel like there's a lot to that people in the field of musical theater can really latch onto there if they haven't already. So I'm going to throw it to you, Brian Martinez. What does A Chorus Line mean to you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Jacob, for having me on the show. It's my pleasure. What does A Chorus Line mean to me? A Chorus Line is the story of artists fighting for their dreams. And sometimes that involves not completely getting it, and sometimes it involves getting it. As you mentioned, the story revolves around 17 dancers. Previously, there were a lot more, but it got cut down to 17, and then it will be cut down to 8 who do receive those top spots in the show.
So I know, like, this film was shot about 50 odd years. The film itself was 50 years ago or so. The production debuted in 1975 as well. But do they still kind of do that style of auditions there, where they have everybody just crammed onto that stage and do it like that, or is it too early to tell?
100%. I think especially in dance auditions, I know for myself, I come from a dance background, and I was crammed with at least 200 people in a huge ballroom of a hotel, or ballrooms in meeting spaces. In terms of the acting world, I'm not too sure if that's still how it's run. I know now they're leaning towards maybe 20 people in a room at once, and they have slots.
I'm guessing COVID also changed that practice a little bit.
100%, especially for film. Yeah, now it's just one-on-one in your room, and you just send your self-tape off. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember one of the I was listening to the musical today while preparing for this interview, and there's this one line about one of the girls, like, I think it was like, it's a winter's day and you're in a bobsled and go. And they were like, what? I'm just trying.
Yeah,
that felt so strange, but I imagine it's not terribly outlandish to people in the acting and musical world. So your character is Paul San Marco here, and a lot of these characters had stories that revolved, that told the story of how they got to where they are, after starting as a child, as to then to the right now. Paul is a Puerto Rican fella who has had a troubled lifestyle, a troubled life. Maybe you can fill in the gaps for us a little bit, how your character is you.
For sure. So Paul's arc in Act One, at least, he's more of an observant, shy character. You don't see a lot of him. But in Act Two, he has this huge monologue where he kind of explodes his heart and lets the audience know how he started. He started at a young age, and he always loved watching movies and musicals, and you get to see of his dance background. He started in drag, actually, and so a lot of his dance experience comes from that. And he has this big moment where he lets the audience know of how he came out as a gay man, and he didn't come out in the way that he wanted to. His parents actually came in and saw him doing drag, and that's how they found out that he was gay. And one of the breaking points of the show, heartbreaks of the show, is when you find out that Paul isn't actually going to make it into the top eight.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, but the show has been around, like you said, for 50-some years. So I'm sure some people know, or they're watching for me, and they're like, oh, how's he going to break his leg? How's it going to work out? They know.
So with that in mind, like, how have you, like, rejection is a natural part of the, the acting and theater world, that, sometimes it just doesn't work out for some reason. I don't know how to phrase this poorly, but like, how much experience do you have with that aspect of it? Like, how have those experiences been for you?
Yeah, for sure. As an actor, half of the work is rejection. And I was lucky enough to get into Studio 58, and I was lucky enough to get cast in this role. But I've been part of three musicals, and this is the first role that I have in a musical where I'm actually speaking. I love dancing, and I love musicals, but it's nice to finally be able to speak in one.
It's Brian's time. It's Brian's time.
Yeah, it's Brian's time, for sure.
And what a speaking role you got. I heard that monologue's pretty hard to deliver, and I read a review where they said some very nice things about how you delivered it.
So I got an excellent review. Yes, it's a huge monologue. It took me like maybe 3 or 4 days to actually fully learn it. And
no doubt.
I was doing dishes and listening to it in the back of my mind just so I could get all the words right.
Well done, apparently. You've done a great job, it seems. You've been running now for the last 2 weeks. And while the chorus line itself has been running continuously on Broadway or off Broadway for a lot, I think up until 1993 from its debut. But I'm sure they have had a different experience. How has your time been for the last 2 weeks now, making this show happen every week? Is it every day?
Almost every day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Every day over there at the Waterfront Theater on Granville Island.
So dress rehearsal, I believe, was February 30th. And then opening was the 2nd. It was January 30th. Sorry. And then February 2nd was opening. Opening was a wild ride. It was the first time that we kind of, it was maybe our third time with the band and hearing the live music next to us. And our teachers are coming in, some professionals, theater professionals, past directors. It was a really welcoming space, and the audience, you could feel the love for the show. And I think our only day off is Monday. So Monday's our only day off. Other than that, we're on every day. Saturdays, we have two shows. And it's just go, go, go. I've learned since opening, I don't need as much of a warm-up vocally, because I know that, like, I've just gotten used to, I need to sing. This is the part where I sing. Okay, let's do it.
All right, it's singing time.
Yeah, it's been a dream. It's been a pleasure to be up since for 2 weeks, and we still have one more week. We end on Sunday, the 19th. Yeah.
All right. You guys have anything special lined up for the big finale?
Stay awake.
Bonus. Well, I'm sure. I hope they have a nice pot of coffee on the side there for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So going back a little bit about how, like, I want to talk about like the lasting power of the chorus line here. As I mentioned earlier, it's one of the longest running shows, only outdone by Cats. Funny enough, I remember seeing that one in theaters, and it was an interesting time. I wish I could have been more high for that one to just make it a bit more of a surreal experience. Just seeing Judi Dench as a cat was just... blew my mind. But that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the lasting power of a chorus line here. Again, it ran almost continuously until 93, and it seems to be the sweetheart of the musical theater world, and has, I think, a lasting and profound effect on the people in that world of theater and dance. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how a chorus line has just stuck it out and stayed in the front of musical theater's, I guess, classics.
For sure, yeah. I mean, speaking to my experience, I moved to Vancouver and I didn't have a plan B. I want to be an actor, and that was my whole goal. And so I came to Vancouver from Edmonton, Alberta, and I don't have a plan B in mind. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, oh well, I'll find something else. But I want to put my whole soul and heart into this thing because I love it. And a chorus line is the same thing. All these artists, they just want one thing, and they have no plan, they have no backups. Whatever they can do to get this thing is their goal. And if they can't, oh well, I'll find something else. I'll figure some other way to make money. But I want to be in the show, and I want to try my darndest to be in this show. And all artists, I think, can relate watching the show. Whether you're an actor, whether you're a dancer, whether you're a painter, you have a goal. You have a heart that you want to speak. You want to. For some reason, something has told you that your art needs to be shared with the world. And a chorus line just...